This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Christian Agenda.
Over 3,000 years ago, God saw it necessary for the people of Israel to have a voice. And this was not a regular voice. This was a voice of someone who was paying attention to what was going on in the world around Israel. This person was given a name by God. This person was a person who was a watchman. Now, you know that word is still used in English today, a watchman. Somebody who would look out and see what was going on and then warn somebody that danger was coming. And this is where we are in this morning's thinking. I want to share with you some things I see as the role of a watchman. My sermon this morning is not a political statement, because I don't believe in that. I'm not a politician, and if I were to leave the pastorate and become a politician, I'd be stepping down. Amen? So I want to share with you that the fact is that everybody has an agenda. People have an agenda. People have an agenda in business. People have an agenda in education. But there is an agenda going on. Christians have an agenda. And I'm going to share all of that with you. Let's first begin talking about a secular agenda and how this is going to affect you. I'll use the word deceive to begin the sermon out. And the word deceive means to deliberately misrepresent facts by words or action to further one's ends, to cause to accept as true or valid what is false and invalid. So I listed for you in your bulletin the synonyms, words that mean the same for that word deceive. And listen to these words: trick, fool, outwit, hoax, betray, lead astray. Think of those words. The one perpetrating the deception knows it's wrong or right, but fully intends to mislead his victim. We could say deceivers have a hidden agenda. It's cloaked with high-sounding words and phrases to paint a lovely picture, obscuring the true intentions. In the May and June edition of a magazine I get called Israel My Glory, they write the following article. Now listen carefully. And again, this is not political. A new group of Democrats has emerged in America that intends to wipe Christian values from the nation's landscape. This is a special group within the Democrat Party. Whether the Democrat Party accepts them, recognizes them, I don't know. But they're called Secular Democrats of America. And this is their website, seculardems.org. They have produced a 28-page manifesto for the current administration that calls Christians the following things: anti-democratic, anti-scientific, and a national security threat to the United States. And these secularists, these are non-believing people. This is a group within a recognized party that just is anti-God. These secularists are urging all leaders, now listen carefully to this phrase, they're asking and urging all leaders to stick it to people of faith. Stick it to you. To take away every aspect of religious freedom in their sites or churches, ministries, and governments who refuse to see government as God, small g. And here are a few excerpts from the Blueprint for America that they published on their website. This is called the Blueprint for America. I'll only give you a couple of things. They want to dismantle the Department of Justice Religious Liberty Task Force. They want to repeal Executive Order 13798, which promotes free speech and religious liberty. And finally, they want to rescind and replace the Department of Justice federal law protections for religious liberty. Think about the impact that's going to have on your worship. Their hidden agenda is to take steps to promote the declining influence of biblical Christianity in the Western world. That's what they're aiming for. Those secularists and ideas, those secular theories that they have, they're actually having an impact on America, and that's undeniable. Listen to some of these statistics that I've just begun to learn. Darwinian evolution postulates there is no God and no need for a creator. Think about that. What does that do in the life of a young person when they're told there is no God and no need for one? Theologians cast doubts and despair on the Bible. Kids coming out of seminary, young men and women coming out of seminary today, are learning you can't trust the Bible. Educators claim there are no moral absolutes. In other words, there really is no right or wrong. There really is no truth. There are no absolutes. Scientists insist that human reason alone can solve human problems, all while academics and media voices ridicule your Christian faith. This has led to plummeting church attendance. Baptisms continue to decline. Every time we have a baptism, I rejoice. The number of people claiming no religious affiliation has increased across the Western world. Here are some examples. Only 24% of Americans regularly attend church. One in four. In the UK, only 2% of young people attend the Church of England. Australia, nearly one half the population describes themselves as having no religion. Research over the last 30 years in America says the percentage of people who believe in God has fallen from 86% to 46%. What's that doing to the fabric of the country? Americans who believe the Bible is reliable and accurate, the Word of God, was 30 years ago 70%. Today it's 41%. If I took a poll of folks here, I know what the kind of a poll we'd have, what the results would be of how many of you believe that the Bible is God's Word. It'd be 100%. The question comes like this: who's behind that agenda to attack God, the Bible, and the church? Is it George Soros? We hear that name bandied about so much. Is it education? Is it entertainment? Is it big tech? Is it social media? Is it the ACLU? And the answer is none of them, and all of them. That's not an anomaly. That's not an oxymoron. None of them are fully responsible, and all of them are fully responsible. All of these are tools in the hands of the great deceiver. And the great deceiver is God's greatest adversary, and he's humanity's biggest enemy. And his name is? Thank you. Listen to some of the things the Bible tells us about him and his ability to influence. In Job 1:7, it says that he has access to all the institutions on earth. So if you wonder what's happening in the educational system, why are they so why did they throw the Ten Commandments out? Why can't you read your Bible? And all those things that are so negative about going on in education. If a kid talks about Jesus, they're in trouble. Satan has access to the educational system and all the other systems that we see are going more and more secular and more anti-God. Job 1:8, he singles out believing individuals hoping to destroy them. He's after you. Your commitment to Jesus, your commitment to believing God's word, your commitment to church, your commitment to following Jesus every day of your life. Do you think Satan wants that? Do you think he's encouraged when you're on fire for Jesus? He's only encouraged when the fires have gone out and nobody would even know that you're a Christian. Satan is thrilled. Job 2, verses 3 to 6, he hates those who do good in Jesus' name. Every time missionaries go into Africa and they build wells, Satan is angry because they're building those wells in Jesus' name. Every time somebody does something good, like these boxes, and Jesus' name is being promoted around the world, Satan is thrilled. He hates these things. Job 1:11, he works at getting people to curse God. Job 1:15 and 17, he uses agents on earth to go against God and believers. Everybody can be a tool. Revelation 12:9, Satan's greatest objective, to deceive the whole world. Knowing that this father of lies and great deceiver is still affecting the human race, we need to be looking with spiritual eyes wide open and ears attuned to how these influencers are influencing us. How are you being influenced when you turn the TV on, when you go on social media? How are you being affected? And your friends and your neighbors and the people you come in contact with, are they encouraging you to follow Jesus, or are they pulling you away from Jesus? That really needs to be the bottom line for every one of us. We can't just be laid back anymore. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 2:11 says. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We want to be informed. That word ignorant does not mean stupid. It means uninformed. It means you're looking at things at face value. It means that you're not really seeing there's something behind the stuff that you're hearing about in the news, something that's behind what you're seeing on social media, something that is a hidden agenda appearing behind what looks like it's so good and has such a good effect on people. History teaches people will seduce the innocent or the well-meaning with an idea that on the surface seems harmless or helpful, but meanwhile, there is something bigger and darker in the background. Take, for example, this is a famous name, Saul Alinsky. He was an atheist. He was a radical. He said this in his book, Rules for Radicals. This is what happened when he would get new young people into his group. He used to ask his new followers why they wanted to become community organizers. Why do you want to become a community organizer? And they would reply with something idealistic like, I want to help the poor and the oppressed. Then Alinsky would scream at them like a Marine drill sergeant. No, you don't want that. Listen, you want to organize for power. And that was his hidden agenda. It wasn't about poor people. It wasn't about people who are hurting. It was about power. We hear a lot of news about a proposal called the Green New Deal, sponsored by newly elected member of Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Stories have circulated that they're going to shut down planes, they're going to go after cow gas, they're shutting down oil wells and coal mines, silly things like that, in an effort to affect greenhouse gases and save the planet. But here's what Reuters News Service, a very left-leaning progressive news service, says. Representative Cortez's chief of staff, his name is Saikat Chakrabarty, recently admitted that, quote, the true motivation, this is a quote, behind introducing the Green New Deal isn't the climate thing at all, because what we really think of it is as a how you can change the economy thing. It's not about the global warming. It's not about the environment. It's about how somebody can get control of the money and change the economy. That's their hidden agenda. And finally, you may have heard of the 1960s atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare. This was the woman who single-handedly got prayer out of school. You may have thought removing prayer from school was her agenda. But she too had a hidden agenda, as recorded in her own son, William J. Murray's book, My Life Without God. He, by the way, became a Christian. Her son, the world's greatest, most infamous, and sorry to say, most hated person on the planet, her son became a believer, and he wrote that book. And this is what she told her son. The only way true freedom can be achieved is through the new socialist man. We have to achieve an entire race that lives for the state. Russia is close, but not close enough, or they would have let us in. Well, if they keep us from going to Russia, where there is some freedom, how did you come to that conclusion? We just have to, here it is, change America. Change America. We hear so much like that, right? Change America. Here's an interesting verse, John 3, Proverbs 27. Listen to what it says. The bread of deceit is sweet to the taste of a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. It sounds good until you start chewing on it. In other words, the more it reveals, the more you know, the more you realize how this is not just going to hurt you. This is going to kill you. This is going to change everything you believe, everything you think is important, everything you love, all the things you hold dear. This kind of a hidden agenda, this kind of a secular, godless agenda. It's going to change everything that you believe that's true, and everything that you believe gives you hope. But here's another verse, Psalm 34:8. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. God will never let you down. These promises to do all these wonderful things will let you down. They're taking you down a very dark place. But if you put your faith and trust in the promises and the book, God will not take you to a dark place. He'll take you to an ever brighter place. Love, unity, sacrifice. The Bible instructs you and me to test the spirits to see what's behind the surface. We need to compare human ideals with the Bible. This is your text. This is how you know the difference between right and wrong. And if you don't care, if this book is up on a shelf or locked away someplace and you never open it up, you're vulnerable. You're just like, you're like a lamb to the slaughter. You're taking in a lot more of that stuff than you're ever taking in anything of this stuff. And as a result, you can be easily misled, and our nation is falling for this. The Bible-believing Christian, we also have an agenda. Ours is not a hidden agenda. It's right out here in front. It's something everybody could see. You can't dig below this and find out that we've got, oh, we said this, but we really meant this. And what do I mean by that? The agenda we've got is the agenda Jesus had, documented in that book. 2,000 years, we're still seeing the same agenda. And what was his agenda? Matthew 18:11. Here's the reason he came to earth. The Bible says he came as the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. That's his prime directive, to save people who are alienated from God, strangers from God, and bring them back into relationship, or bring them to a new relationship with God. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Is that your heart's desire? Is that your prime directive to the people in your family, the people in your neighborhood, the people on your street, the people in your sphere of influence come to know Jesus? Paul writes in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, the future could be dire, or the future could be wonderful. In whose hands is that? It's in your hands. You have the key to a happy and a wonderful and a meaningful and a purposeful and a satisfying life. You have Jesus. And yet, we're silent. And yet, we see all this stuff happening and it doesn't shake us at all. This is the major item on our agenda. Our agenda is not about ornate buildings. It's not about maintaining institutions or rituals or traditions. It's about people and their free choice to receive or reject the Jesus of the Bible. His death, burial, and resurrection is the choice that sets your eternal destiny. Where are you going when this is over? Well, first of all, let me assure you, you're going someplace. Where? Who's it up to? It's not up to me, not up to your parents. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. It's up to each individual to decide where they're destined to go in eternity. In sharing the gospel, we will not do what Satan does. We will not add to the Bible by manipulating people into things to earn their salvation. We'll not take from the gospel by saying that there are many paths to God. We will not lie to people denying there is a literal physical hell for those who reject Jesus. In a society where religion is unimportant to the majority of Americans, this, believe it or not, is a great opportunity to reach people with the gospel. Because we are not promoting religion. See, people don't like religion. Well, neither do I. Religion kills. What are we offering people? A relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God the Father through his Son. We're offering them all life really is about, all life really has to offer to the max. What a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with people who hate religion. We're not promoting religion. We're introducing people to Jesus, and the most effective method of outreach to those folks is sitting in your seat. What do I mean? You. You're the most effective way to reach people in your sphere of influence for Jesus. We don't have a hidden agenda. Our agenda is to expand the walls of heaven by introducing people to Christ. John 17, 32, Jesus says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." How do we lift him up so others will be joined to him? And the answer is by living out your faith. Here's a couple of clues. Matthew 5, 13, "You're the salt of the earth." And Matthew 5, 14, "You're the light of the world." Throughout history, salt has served two functions. And what is it? Adds flavor to what it touches, and it preserves what it touches. Jesus tells the believer to bring something to the table of humanity. When the culture becomes so stuff-oriented, so materialistic, we must speak and live in such a way to demonstrate what Jesus said: "Man shall not live by bread alone." It's not about stuff. And yet we keep getting this promoted into our head daily. If we're watching television, we are beat to death with commercials. And they're all saying, "This will change your life. This deodorant will change my life." Well, maybe. But I mean, think about that. This toothpaste will give you a completely new outlook on life. It's really hyperbole. It's really ridiculous. The world has nothing to offer that's really, really meaningful. When the culture becomes obsessed with violence and mayhem, we must speak and live in such a way that we demonstrate what Jesus said, that there is blessing in being a peacemaker. When the culture divides people by our differences, we must speak and live in such a way to demonstrate what Jesus said, that in him, in Christ, unity is forged from diversity, when we love one another as God has loved us unconditionally. As Christians, we are not seeking political solutions to the world's problems. The Christian agenda is a transparent spiritual agenda, reaching out to those within our sphere of influence with love and compassion in Jesus' name. This is the serving gospel and the saving gospel. This is the gospel of show and tell. We want to serve the people in our life. We want to become servants. And if we're in leadership, we want to become servant leaders. We want to help people. We want to do what's right. We want to encourage folks. We want to give hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. We want to raise people up and not tear them down. We want to be encouragers. If ever people needed to see and hear genuine Christian faith, it's today. We are either salt and light or we're not. And speaking of light, God promised in his word, when demonstrate and in our lives and articulated with truth and love, that the word would not return void. Christ is the hope of the world. We need to be loving. We need to be what he called us to be, a lighthouse. People need to see Jesus in you. Are they? Are Jesus seeing people being lived out in you? Are they seeing Jesus being lived out in me? It's your and my personal responsibility to reflect the light of Jesus Christ in this world. You can't get around it. You are responsible. Someday, I have to stand before the Lord. And I want to be able to stand before him and have him say, "Well, you preached the truth to the best of your ability. What about you? What about us? What about our friends and our neighbors? Are we doing the best possible for them by the way we live and by what we say?" Let your light shine. The bottom line on this message today is let your light shine. Because there is so much darkness that one light shining in such darkness will bring great illumination. It's up to you to carry the Christian agenda. Let's pray. So, Father, I pray this morning that you'll have blessed and anointed this sermon. I pray if there be any here who needed to be encouraged needed to be encouraged to stand up, to stand strong, to stand firm, to get on fire for Jesus. I pray your Holy Spirit would have ignited them. Help us to be a church that is a lighthouse, Lord. And more than that, help us to be a church that is seeing people come to Jesus every single year. We pray it in his name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.